Good morning. I'd like to let you know that starting today during our worship, we'll begin a series of lessons on the family. I try to do this each year. We begin on Mother's Day and conclude on Father's Day. This year there will be 6 weeks of lessons focusing on the family. We give a personal invitation for you to come and be with us. Now our lesson. Today we want to talk about understanding the Bible. There are many things within the Bible that are not easy to understand. Even the Apostle Peter spoke of some things in the writings of Paul as hard to be understood, 2 Peter 3:16. Many times in the life of our Lord Jesus, the disciples found it difficult to comprehend what he was telling them. In John chapter 6, we're told of some becoming so discouraged that they turned from the Master because his teachings were difficult. So, we should not expect our Bible study to always be easy or simple. We're dealing with the revealed will of God, and God is a spirit. The flesh will always have a difficult time understanding spiritual things. It's the finite mind striving to understand the infinite, omniscient, eternal God as he has revealed himself through the apostles and prophets by the Spirit, Ephesians 3:3-5. Obviously, then, we should not expect to understand the Bible without putting forth a certain amount of diligent effort in searching the Scriptures. How sad it is when people become discouraged and turn away from the Bible because it seems too difficult for them. With a little effort and perseverance, there can be a great multitude of blessings through personal Bible study. In fact, any effort expended in the study of God's eternal Word will bring great rewards to our lives. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says, "All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work." Something that is vitally important in our studying and understanding the Bible is our attitude toward it. This will play a very important part in determining the end result of our study. The evolutionist may open the Bible and reject its teaching concerning creation because it doesn't fit his preconceived theories of the origin of man. His attitude plays its part in the results of his Bible study. The skeptic who turns to the Bible to find evidence to bolster his skepticism soon comes away with minor points of seeming contradiction, and his attitude has played its role in the final results. The modernist cannot understand the miracles and rejects them because his attitude has already made the miracles impossible. The man who is in love with material things and is unwilling to even consider parting with them finds even the most simple spiritual concept difficult to understand. So we need to be very careful in our attitude toward the Bible that we study, that we do not fulfill the scripture found in 2 Thessalonians 2:10-12, where it says, "Because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. And for this reason, God will send them a deluding influence that they might believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth and took pleasure in wickedness." Our first step in properly understanding the Bible message is to set aside our preconceived ideas of what we want or expect to find when we open its pages. Our attitude must be one of searching for truth and a willingness to accept that truth no matter what changes it will bring in our lives and our thinking. It is important, it is so important, that we find out what the Bible actually says. Included in this attitude must also be a sincere desire to understand. Desire or motivation is important in anything we do, and certainly there are many reasons that should motivate us to study the Bible. For example, where else can we go to get positive answers to get the great questions of life, the questions of personal identity and worth? Why are we here? Where did we come from? What should we do with our lives? What is the meaning of death? Is there life beyond the grave? On and on the questions roll, and the Bible can give us the answers. Where else can we turn? Our educational system has not come to grips with even the moral man. Science has improved the lot of the physical man, but has done little to help us with the question of life. Philosophies and systems of government fail to fill the emptiness within man. Education, science, and philosophy and governments all have a role to play in our lives, and all are good within themselves. Yet when man asks of them the questions of eternal importance to each of us, they simply do not have the answers. The Bible does have the answers, and here should be our motivation for Bible study. The desire to know and fill the emptiness within should cause us to put forth the effort needed for diligent study of God's Word. From the desire comes the determination to do, and from the doing comes the manifold blessings that can be ours through knowledge of and obedience to the eternal Word of God. Also, when we open God's Word, we need to do so with an attitude of soberness. We need to realize that our study will have consequences for us and others which will change the course of our lives here on earth and ultimately the destiny of our spirits in the world to come. Yes, it's a serious and sobering thing that we do when we study the pages of the Holy Bible. Along with a proper attitude in Bible study should be the proper approach. The Bible is a rational, logical book and should be approached with the same sensibility that we would use in any serious study. It would be foolish to purchase a book on how to build a sailboat, then open it at random to a page and read the paragraph upon which our eyes by chance would rest, and then conclude that we know how to build a sailboat. We simply do not learn this way, do we? Nor can we be an expert boat builder just because we own the book. No unseen force is going to mysteriously open our minds and clarify our understanding of sailboat design. If we ever learn how to build a boat, we will have to study the book in a sensible way. The logical approach would be to first scan the book carefully, learning each step as it is revealed, from the simple to the complex, until we understand all the component parts. Then finally, we can confidently build the boat, knowing how each part fits together and functions to make the boat operable. The Bible also needs to be approached in a sensible way. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, we're told to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. To handle accurately the word of truth, we will need to be more sensible than to open the Bible at random and read whatever passage comes under our gaze. To hold the book and wait for some unseen force to clarify our understanding of spiritual truth would be equally useless. How to build a successful spiritual life with God is revealed in the Bible, and that's where we need to go to learn. We need to first scan the individual books, then carefully study each one, learning the components and fitting them all together. Also, a liberal portion of good common sense will go a long way in helping us understand the message that God has in His Word. Our study of the Bible needs to be a systematic one because it's a systematic book. You see, the Bible is really a library of 66 books, each dealing with different aspects of God's relation and revelation to man. And this library is systematically divided into two main sections, the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, there are 39 books, which covers a period from creation to about 400 years before Christ was born. These include a group of law books, Genesis to Deuteronomy, a history series, Joshua to Esther, some volumes of poetry, Job to the Song of Solomon, and the other books of prophecy. Of course, it deals with the lives of the prophets. One volume, Proverbs, is filled with good, down-to-earth advice on the problems of everyday life. Psalms provide a lift when the road is rough. They contain encouragement and comfort. However, until one makes a systematic effort to get to know this library, it will do him little good. You must know where to study to find the help you need. The New Testament has 27 volumes. The first section deals with the life of Christ, in order that we might know the Savior and believe that He is the Son of God as He claimed to be. This section is called the Gospels and are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Next comes Acts of the Apostles, a book that records the history of the establishment and growth of the Lord's Church in the first century. It is here that we find recorded the searching question, "What must I do to be saved?" As we study the book of Acts in a systematic way, this question not only asked but answered by commandment and example. Next come letters to the churches and certain individual Christians. These books, from Romans to Jude, were written to give Christians of all times the instructions and help they need to live and grow in the new life. Finally, the book of Revelation pictures the ultimate victory of God's faithful children. Friends, it is vitally important to our understanding of the Bible that our attitude and approach to God's Word is proper. Now let us answer this question. What does the Bible study do? First of all, salvation depends on it. We must study God's Word to know God's will for forgiveness and eternal life. Jesus says in John 3:39, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." In Romans 1:16, Paul says, "The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation." Secondly, faith is produced by it. The importance of Bible study is seen in the importance of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11:6. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. Who would think of salvation without faith? Even so, there is no salvation without knowledge of God's saving faith. Then third, growth comes by it. Growth in all things spiritual demands Bible study. The context of Ephesians 4:15, the preceding verses, reveals that maturity in Christ comes by knowledge of the Son of God. Real growth comes only by receiving the milk and meat of God's Word, and then exercising oneself therein. Hebrews 5:13-14. Peter says in 1 Peter 2:2, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." What is your life? What purpose do you have for your existence? Wouldn't you like to know what God says about your life and purpose? The Bible holds all the answers. Until next week, may God bless and keep you.